Coming up in 8 minutes, we'll talk a little more about Tommy Pham, who continues to be phenomenal for this Royals team. I was about to give you a Drew pun, but I avoided it. Saw that all over social media yesterday. Fantastic, which we know is Drew's thing. But Tommy Pham has been fantastic.
My favorite was Wham Bam Thank You Pham.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been several.
That one's really good.
Several good ones.
A lot of the stuff from the Cardinals days.
Was that a Cardinals one? I didn't know.
I think Fham Bam was when he was a Cardinals thing.
Wham Bam Thank You Fham is, I mean, really good.
So we'll get into what he's been doing.
I saw Fham and a Phenomenon. So, you know, a Chapel Road recent reference. Ooh. That one couldn't have come from the Cardinals days.
That's good.
Kudos to everybody and their creativity.
Here in about 15 minutes, we'll also get to the trash of the day. We're about a half hour away from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as well, speaking to the media ahead of this game against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday, right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Probably get a little update on Hollywood Brown, where things are at with him and anybody else. Ooh. Yeah. I mean, if that happens, then he's totally trending towards playing Sunday. And that'll be fun to see. You'll have your full go offense, even if Hollywood Brown's a little bit limited. That would be really interesting to see just how that impacts the snaps for Worthy. And at that point, you probably won't see any snaps from Sky Moore if he's available.
No.
Happy late birthday
to
Sky
Hartman
Moore
didn't even...
yesterday. Did you sing him a song?
It was his birthday?
Yesterday was.
Oh,
Sky Moore. Shout
out
to Sky Moore.
Happy birthday, Sky Moore. That didn't work. Remember, four syllables. Mm-hmm. My happy birthday song only works if you have four syllables.
Okay.
Otherwise, it just sounds like you're dragging it out kind of senselessly, you know? Patrick Mahomes was the first one, of course.
A lot of people texting in real quick. 96.5 The Fam. I mean, that's it right there, you know?
That's pretty strong. Definitely can't argue. I mean, that's pretty strong.
That's good.
That's good. That's pretty strong. No argument.
913-586-7965. Keep them coming. We will talk about him, but let's start with some quarterbacks' performances in week one. I think we acknowledged yesterday that quarterback play in week one was down overall, and there was a four-year stretch at one point from 2018 to 2021 in which we saw passer rating across the league was above 90 each season. And it peaked in the 2020 year, believe it or not, 93.6.
Seemed like we were just like getting ready to ride a high of great quarterback play forever.
Last year, this is just QB rating, passer rating, it dipped to 89.1. And before last night's game, or 2 nights ago at this point, I guess, it was 89.3. So it's basically in week one, believe it, I know everybody's talking about it today, it's actually right on par passer rating wise, what we saw all of last season on average.
Sure. Which concerns me in a deep, deep way, where right after the year went where it was Burrow, Mahomes, and Josh Allen, like a two-year run, I just kind of assumed we were getting ready to hit the resurgence of, oh my God, look how good the quarterback play is going to be in the league moving forward. And the closer I look at it, the more I realize that that is the exact opposite of what is actually happening. How many quarterbacks do you actively think can win a Super Bowl is not better than it was 10 years ago. And I would argue the bottom floor of quarterback play is as bad as it's ever been. Deshaun Watson, Bo Nix, Gardner Minshew, Jacoby Brissett, Justin Fields, Will Levis. I can go on and on. The number of just straight up, I would say, bad quarterbacks in the league right now is a third of the starters. And then for the guys that I thought were going to challenge us, where we were going to have, wow, look at 10 quarterbacks playing at an incredibly high level, none of them have ever matched it. Stafford's getting older. Lawrence has never come up to rise to that challenge. Neither has, and like Stroud is just too young, too early. Maybe you thought Kyler was going to be that guy. Quarterback play is far worse than I thought. Derek Carr might still be, 5 years later, like the 11th best starter in the league. And that is not the position the league should be in, considering how many quarterbacks have gone in the first round of the last 5 years.
Right, but here in Kansas City, like...
Great
news.
I'm just saying from a watchability standpoint.
Yeah. I mean,
you're right, for Kansas City, fantastic.
Even better news. You already knew you had the best quarterback, but if it's... Hey, there's only really five or six of these guys that are anywhere tier two. And then after that, it's just a bunch of tier three and tier four guys. I mean, that's even better news just talking about from the Chiefs perspective. I also don't disagree on the bottom five, six, seven quarterbacks. But like Kyler Murray, like, you know, you mentioned his performance. Like, That's pretty typical stuff. Like, I don't think we need oh my gosh, there's a massive quarterback problem in the NFL. Everybody sucks now. Like, I think that's a bit much, but there are
I'm getting close to that. I'm not all the way there.
There are more than just the bottom three. Like, the bottom three is now, I would say, the bottom six or bottom eight.
Ten, I'll give you that.
I think that's true. The bottom is worse than what we've had. But, like, that middle of the road stuff, it's been the middle of the road. I mean, I just mentioned last year, even passer rating-wise, the average is the same as what we just averaged in week one. Like, if we're just basing it off of yardage, I mean, I mentioned that on Monday, I think. Just off of yardage, yeah. In week one, only two quarterbacks went over 300 yards. So, yeah, based off of that, that's an issue. To me, this is not the same as when we discussed 2 years ago. We're like, oh, my gosh, there's terrible offensive line play in the NFL, and it's a big, big problem and all this, and there's no offensive line talent coming up from college. No, there's plenty of quarterback talent coming out of college. Yeah. Hell, this year, Caleb Williams, you know, we're going to find out about Jaden Daniels as the season goes on. But, like, for both of them, like, there's a good chance two of these guys at minimum end up being top 15 quarterbacks, I think, in the NFL.
Could be, but, like, that's been kind of the story of the last 3 or 4 years. And these guys have all just, like, we haven't had the same emergence I thought we would have. Meanwhile, the three best quarterbacks in the league,
CJ Stroud just had the best rookie starting quarterback season ever.
He's probably the exception. And I do want to find out whether or not year two continues to progress that way. Obviously, week one looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom end is as bad as it's ever been. I just listed all those guys. I mean, think about, and I don't care if it's Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, Justin Wilson, whatever.
But we know both those guys have stunk for multiple years. That's not a new development in week one.
But Bryce Young, you know, like, Malik Will's not that. And I don't know, maybe Sam Darnold will work out. But Daniel Jones, I mean, there is some really horrid.
Oh, I'm with you. But again, you mentioned Daniel Jones. Play. We've known he's stunk for a couple of years. Like, that's not a new, like, Daniel Jones stinking is not a new development.
He was kind of,
like,
mediocre for that 1 year.
Yeah, we got paid because of it. And the Giants, you know.
I can't.
They needed to do that, and now they're screwed.
We'll see how this year goes, though. But isn't that? It's always been that way, where there's not that much NFL level quarterback talent. That
I thought it used to be better, or at least I thought it was heading in a direction where I thought it was going to be that way.
Yeah, it seemed that way. But there's been one good year in the last 5 years, and that's 2020 when Joe Burrow, Tua, and Justin Herbert were picked. But if you look at the other ones, Trevor Lawrence is the only good one from 2021. Nobody from 2022 other than Brock Purdy, who was picked dead last out of all the quarterbacks.
And we're all still like, how good, you know? Well, we're celebrating the fact that he might be like the 11th best guy.
I know, but I think we need to, it's not going to change, but I think the conversation around the quarterback position, it's very important. But if you look at, just because Kenny Pickett fakes a slide and Pittsburgh goes 10-2 and he looks great, it does not mean that he is a first round talent 1 through 32. I know that it's overvalued because it's the quarterback position, but when you look, like, this year, does Shador look like a number one overall draft pick? No, neither does the offensive line, but Shador doesn't. Carson Beck is fine, but he plays at Georgia, so you really can't tell. And Quinn Ewers, he actually might be the guy that's actually looked the best out of all the quarterbacks this year,
I mean, to that point, though, that it's still projecting at the NFL level. I mean, there's plenty of guys that were great college quarterbacks, and nobody considers them a starting NFL quarterback.
Or that were not that great in college and were ridiculous. Jared Goff did. I couldn't tell you anything about Jared Goff in college, and he's maybe a top 10 quarterback in the league. It's just the way that it tends to go. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, he played at D2 school.
He didn't play. No, Goff was at Cal.
Projecting.
I was getting mixed up with the Wentz.
But I think sometimes we're all guilty when we talk about, like, hey, top five or top 10. Like, we call it a top five or a top 10 because there's only 10 of them. Like, we're like, how come there's not more guys that are in the top 10? There can only be 10 in the top 10.
I know that they, and they'll get picked in the first round, but you could argue that there is no, in a year, like the year where that Bryce Young was picked, Kenny Pickett. You could argue no quarterback deserved to get picked in the first round, but there's always going to be guys that get picked there. But there should be a year where you look at a quarterback in a class and it's like, this is not a good class. And obviously it's not good for the league, but guys, if your team needs a quarterback, you shouldn't just be taking one on a flyer to hope that he's
good.
Well,
in their mind, they're not. I mean, like, the Broncos drafted Bo Nix. They had a drafted quarterback this year. In their mind, they think they found someone. Like, they're not. It's not like we all from the outside, including myself with Bo Nix, I don't think he's going to be all that good. But in that organization, during their evaluation process, like, they're not telling themselves, we think he sucks, but we're drafting him anyway. They actually think he's going to be really good.
The other part is that I had actually argued now more, I think this is part of my point, Drew, now more than ever, I do think you can just take stabs at quarterback. What are you going to do? Guess worse than Jacoby Brissett? What? You're going to finish worse than that? But I don't think so. But I'd rather improve my life standing than that. And because the lifespan of being a GM or being a head coach in the league is 5 years. How long can you realistically sit on your hands and keep your job?
Yeah, but if you know you're going to lose, if you know that there's not a good quarterback in the class, why would you not? Yeah, you're kind of throwing a year in the tank, but you're preparing your team better. So I know Caleb Williams is an outlier. The situation that Bryce Young inherited is awful. Why not get the team a little bit more ready? So, yeah, you might skip out on Bryce Young. You might skip out on somebody, but you know that when you get a quarterback that's ready, your team is built where you can get a guy like Brock Purdy, and the team's already built good. You just need the quarterback to be fine. You don't have to pay him. You can pay everybody else.
I hear you, but two things. One, Brock Purdy, we all know, is the outlier of all outliers, right? Like, that's not a normal thing.
That's irrelevant, yeah.
The other thing is, when the Panthers traded with the Bears up to get Bryce Young, in their mind, they thought they had the guy. I mean, hindsight, 2020, duh, they should have drafted C.J. Stroud, but I don't think C.J. Stroud would have had the same success in Carolina. Do I think Stroud is better than Bryce Young?
Yes.
Of course I do. Do I think C.J. Stroud would have broke rookie records in Carolina?
No. Do I think you'd already know he's a better starter? Yes.
I think we have to remember, though, like, in the Panthers' eyes, they were wrong with their evaluation, it looks like, but they truly thought Bryce Young is the franchise long-term option for them, and he's going to be a star. So we're saying, like, they shouldn't have drafted Bryce Young. They should have built the team and then drafted him. Well, then who are they drafting when they're picking 17th and they're mediocre?
He's saying just take the best defensive end.
You're right. But to me, would you rather not take Miles Garrett than take
hindsight's a hell of a thing, man.
Yes, Drew. But
I think you can. Teams talk themselves into take. Look, Denver might say they love Bo Nix. I think that part of them is they felt like they needed a quarterback, and they're like, you know what, we really like Bo Nix, and he's the best one available. I think in a way you talk yourself into taking a quarterback sometimes
more than you actually believe.
They didn't have to take it. They could have
start Jarrett Stidham or Zach Wilson this year.
They could have played Jarrett Stidham and taken Dallas Turner, and the defense would have been great for whenever they get somebody.
Here's
Why
the problem.
Would you take a quarterback at four? I think you talk yourself into, we have to do it now because I have to save my job, more than I'm doing what's best for the
part
team.
Of it.
Sure,
right. That's part of it. That's
but you're missing,
part of it.
Your argument is missing the most key part of all of this is, which you are only truly using hindsight. And even in the case you mentioned, in where Miles Garrett was selected and said, what has that done for the Browns? Nothing! They still stink! They're still one of the worst franchises in the league. The problem exists is the reason why they take these chances is the cost-benefit analysis is so strong. Because when you get it right, you're off the mat. You matter again. When you're the Bengals and you take Joe Burrow, because that year you think you got the right guy, he's your Bryce Young at the top of the draft. When you get it right, you don't stink as a franchise anymore. You don't just win three games. If you get Miles Garrett because it's the year you get Bryce Young, you still stink. Maybe you're two wins better, but if you don't have a quarterback, you're lost anyway.
But I think that you building up the roster to be as good as it is better than, hey, Justin, can you come and save us because the rest of the Chargers team stinks?
But quarterback in the NFL is a saving game. That's the job.
But it hasn't been for the Chargers, for instance. It hasn't been for other franchises where the quarterback is great, but the rest of the team stinks. I think.
But if they didn't have Herbert, then imagine how bad they'd stink. They'd be better because they had one better defensive player? Probably not.
I said it last year. The Bengals defense was so bad, it didn't matter if Joe Burrow was the best quarterback in the league. They were not going to win anything because the rest of the team, defensively in particular, stunk.
We saw Cincinnati when they had Andy Dalton. They had some pretty good defenses for him. They won they didn't win a playoff game, right? Is that the story?
Correct.
So he was a middle of the road quarterback. Now they have a top five quarterback, and even if their defense is mediocre, they've got a chance to go to a Super Bowl. In fact, that's kind of what we've seen. Like, I totally get what you're saying. Like, now that we know the result of some of these things, sure. But if each coach and GM had a guaranteed contract, they were told they would not be fired for 8 years, I think teams would consider more what you're talking about. But yeah, the reality is that a general manager maybe has six. A coach has like 2.5 years to get it turned around. Like Robert Saleh, they went out and tried to hit the fast forward button by trading for Aaron Rodgers. If they don't make it to like an AFC title game this year, there's a decent chance they're blowing that whole thing up there in New York.
I mean, yeah,
you know, if we look at what's another example? Dennis Allen's been in New Orleans for how long? 3-4 years? Has it been longer now? Where's he been at?
I think it's
since Sean Payne got fired. So 3 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Like this year, if they don't make the playoffs, he's getting fired.
Yeah.
Like, so they didn't have an opportunity to sit back and so they tried to take the easier path by getting the established quarterback, which is what you're like, and they traded or they signed Derek Carr because they didn't think he knows in his job, if they would have just drafted a quarterback, maybe he would have lost his, he wouldn't have had the time that's required. He took the easier fix. They almost won the division last year.
I think, and to your argument, the Colts did the same thing with Phillip Rivers, and then they did it again with Matt Ryan,
and it didn't work either time. Eventually, Frank Reich was gone. Ballard got to keep his job, though, so that counts for something.
Colts fans want him out, by the way. They do not like Chris Ballard at all.
Well, if he found the quarterback, it looks like he did, then they'll be fine.
Then they won't care anymore. Trash of the daytime?
All right, we'll get to Tommy Pham at some point. We were going to talk about him. We obviously went a little long there. He obviously is not the trash of the day. He has been fantastic. But
someone said that you should go with the Fast and the Furious. We are family. There's so many good puns available.
So we will talk Tommy Pham a little bit later on. Wanted to go across the pond a little bit over to a football game, as in Welsh
football.
Football.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Where a gentleman got arrested on the field, and you're like, okay, what did this guy run on the field? What an idiot. No. This was after somebody on the field playing in the game scored. All right, he was charged and ultimately released, but there's footage out there. Two police officers storm onto the pitch and escort one of the players away from the scene who was in the middle of playing. All right. The non-league player initially started on the bench before being introduced in the second half for a team called the Dragons when they were down 3-1 in a match on Saturday. They took the 31-year-old off the pitch after he had just scored and created two more goals in the match. The game only had a couple minutes remaining, but that's when law enforcement arrived on the scene. They arrested him on suspicion of theft, and then they released him without charge. They couldn't wait three more minutes. They ran out of the field. They arrest this guy in the middle of the match. The video's great. 85th minute, guys. 85th minute.
How are you going to arrest a guy on the pitch? 5 minutes? I mean, it may stop his time. Might be 10, though.
He was very wanted, I would presume.
Very wanted for theft? I mean, what'd he steal? Like 10 Ferraris?
They already released him.
One of that bad.
They wanted the storyline for sure. Like, hey, let's go ahead and. I think that they might have just been like, hey, let's, you know what? Let's go ahead and just try to do it now.
I mean,
it's going to be a fun little bit.
I do not understand at all the like need to do that in that moment and to feel the pressure to do that in that moment rather than arrest him. Could you imagine if a Chiefs player or a Rose Park got arrested or like most likely
insane?
Actually, let's make it more realistic.
Tyreek Hill got arrested right before a game.
Let's make it. Well, he was only detained, technically not arrested.
That's true.
Let's make it more realistic. A Raiders player got arrested on the field. In the middle of the game?
You're saying somebody's trying to run an out route, and all of a sudden they get tackled and handcuffed.
And you're like, whoa, what happened there, man? And you're like, oh, no, sorry. We got to arrest him. He's one of you just wait for after the game. You can't be arresting people in the middle of sporting events.
If that happened at an NFL game, that would be insane.
Someone says,
insane.
Detain him for being horrible. Someone said just a couple cops jogging out to get Daniel Jones out of the game because they're fed up. Someone's waiting for Drew to give us what the interaction was like during the Welsh football game.
I don't think I would be able to do that.
Yeah, people are asking for Scottish. This was a Welsh footballer.
Yeah.
Welsh footballer, huh?
But the guy got, I mean, the thing here is it turns out maybe they had the wrong guy because he was released. They thought it's suspicion of theft. To me, if it's suspicion of theft, you can't just wait the 5 minutes till the match is over.
Again, with stoppage, maybe 10. But still, I would say there's no way you can't wait. This is getting a little overzealous from this end. I could just like, that'd be the same though. Like, do you think that they, I guess the real question is, if you got in legal trouble or Drew got in legal trouble, let's leave me out of this. I've never been in legal trouble. Yeah. If you were under suspicion of theft, you walk over to Target before the show and they don't think you hit the scanner thing right.
Okay.
Would they wait till the end of the show to come in here and handcuff your ass? Or are they just coming? If they suspect you at 11:30, are they waiting outside the studio and catching you in a break? Will they let you finish until 2? And I would say under normal circumstances, they're not going to let you just finish your workday just because you're on the air.
Not till the end of the show. They might wait till we're in a commercial break. Maybe. I don't know. But also in that crazy hypothetical, you know, what if I stole a bag of chips? You think they're knocking down the door? I mean, I would have had to have committed credit card fraud at Target or something. You know what I mean? For them to actually pursue anything.
I mean, to actually come find you?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think they're getting anybody for like one missed item scanner. I didn't scan that trash can 4 years ago.
But no, I think right now they would look in the window and they would say, and then they would probably first try to contact the bosses and they would say, hey, they're going to break in 2 minutes. So you don't have as much of a scene. Would you like to wait 3 minutes?
Versus, imagine just pointing at you through this right. window.
And then
he's
live
like,
on the air.
And then he's like,
live on the
like
air.
Like this? just the single finger wag, like, come here, sir. And you're like, oh no. oh no, what did I do? That would be a tense moment in the air. I'd be like, guys, I think I have to go talk to that. And he's like, not you.
Cody yeah. always is. There'll be someone that will walk by the window and Cody's back is turned to it. And so I'll kind of, someone will wave. And so I'll wave back. And he's like, sometimes we're like, who was that? Like, oh, it's just the police officers. They want to talk to you, actually.
He's
after.
Like, you? He's like, me? And you're like, no, him.
True?
This guy.
I mean, again, I think you probably could have waited an extra second.
Someone says,
but that's a new way of getting arrested.
Someone said if there was any athlete that could happen to right now, Deshaun Watson would be the closest to being mid-game and being dragged
His
off
His lawyer
the field.
Just released a statement. Brown. Once again, adamantly denying.
Right, there's a new sexual assault lawsuit out there.
Dare I say Browns fans would like to see Jameis play? I don't know if they would mind being able to see Jameis play.
If that's your hope, I mean.
I, honest to God, that might be the last Browns hope.
I think
they should
be
actively hoping. I think yesterday it was announced that they'll let the legal process play on. They're not going to put him on the commissioner's exempt list again based on an allegation that rivals that of similar allegations he's already served
right.
a suspension for in the NFL. I mean, if you're a Browns fan, you should be wishing he ends up on the commissioner's exempt list because then you don't have to
pay him. Somebody said that, and it was a very popular tweet.
Someone says, when the police come for Cody during the show, please, for all of us, keep the mics on.
Yeah, would you keep the mics on? Like, just let everybody, let everybody hear this interaction, or would you say, oh,
it depends on if I'm guilty or not.
If they stormed in right now, would you say, oh, we need a break anyway, but like, we're going to take an early break. They're here to talk to one of us. Is that how we would approach it?
Think,
like, actually, sit down. I'm sure the police officer would gladly do that. They will gladly, I'm sure, just sit in front of the microphone and listen to you.
They got to give me the anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law speech before they start talking on the microphone. That's for sure.
I don't think they're talking on the radio. All right, up next, we'll get to the Chiefs for a half hour. Why the Chiefs might be better a little bit earlier in the season. And we're expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Coming up in about 12 minutes, we're expected to head out to Arrowhead here on your home of the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. We're going to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Xavier Worthy as it's midweek. Update on some of the status for Hollywood Brown injury-wise and heading into a big game against Cincy. We did see during the break, though, I have said this, you have said this, Cody, and I'm not saying that
Drew's going to have to admit it for Cincinnati fans.
I have to bring this up because we have said jokingly, but also I think there was truth to it, that this is like the Super Bowl on Sunday for Cincinnati. This is it's a huge game for both, but they treat it like a Super Bowl. And we saw during the break that the Cincinnati Bengals are holding a watch party at their stadium for people to go to their stadium.
What's wrong with
watch
that?
The Chiefs. Tickets are $99.
A little expensive.
And they're going before the game starts to replay at the stadium the AFC title game from multiple years ago.
That's where they messed up.
Against the Chiefs.
That's the loser behavior. You didn't even win the Super Bowl that year.
It is week 2 of the season. Yep. We know they're not the first team to ever do a watch party. The Eagles did it because their team in week one, it was a game in Brazil. The Chiefs have done watch parties before. Playoff games, sure. This is a week 2 game, and Cincinnati's holding a celebration in a Super Bowl-esque watch party at the stadium. $100,
well,
too.
Well, look, the only... it's a little bit too much money. You do get field access, and you get a $25 gift card. So
I can touch some grass.
Hold on. Let me finish. It's cool. It's a cool thing. You're still charging too much money. It shouldn't be $99. The only way I can think it's $99 is, jokingly, tongue-in-cheek, as a Bengals fan, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but...
You're probably holding a parade on Monday if they win.
Is this to... No, it's not even that. Is this to raise money for the GoFundMe to pay Ja'Marr Chase? Is that...
Yeah.
Your owner's cheap. You guys saw that today.
Drew, you can no longer... nobody can see this and not think
Cincinnati
fan base, their organization, whoever is planning these events, isn't obsessed with Kansas City and their rival, and we're just as good as them, replaying a championship game win against the Chiefs, in which we all know that the following week is you losing in the Super Bowl and not accomplishing said championship. The only thing sadder than this would be if they replayed Ja'Marr Chase's game when he, like, torched the Chiefs secondary in the regular season. That would be the only thing more sad than re-airing a single game.
There's going to be a parade on Monday. Their mayor in Cincinnati will put out another video as well while they're ahead of this game on Sunday.
I have not kept up with Cincinnati's local government.
I'm not sure if he's still the mayor or not, but saw that. That's just more of an example of this game means so much to Cincy. And for their season this year, it should mean, I guess, a lot, because they're about to start
0-2. I'll be totally honest with you. It does not. So the Chiefs do not live rent-free in my head. However, they do live rent-free in the organization's head, evidently, because you having the watch party is really cool. I think it's awesome. I think it's fun. It's a way to get people out to the field to hang on and watch the Bengals play. And you get field access, the gift card, the whole thing. But to charge as much money as they're doing and to replay the game, the AFC title game, you don't have to go out bad like that. You don't have to do it to yourself, please. I can tell you that if I were a Cincinnati resident, there's no way in hell, even if it was free. If it was free, I'm not going. I'm not going. I don't need to see a replay of the game that I can go and watch I can watch highlights of again. I don't. It's not that big of a deal. If they'd have won the Super Bowl, maybe, but replay the Super Bowl. Don't replay the AFC title game unless you care too much about the team that you're playing, which evidently they love themselves Chiefs football.
Text line confirms Burrowhead mayor is still the mayor of Cincinnati.
This is two things you've had to admit. The first one today. The first one is that it lives rent-free in their head, not in Kansas City. They're not hosting. If this was a game in Cincinnati, I can promise you, assure you, that there's not going to be a watch party at Arrowhead single win against Cincinnati across the board. They're not even doing that for Super Bowl wins right now.
Yeah,
also, Mike Brown is the cheapest owner in the league. And you better accept the fact that when the news came out today that the reports say that the guaranteed money at signing that they offered Ja'Marr Chase was $30 million when CeeDee Lamb's was $90 and Justin Jefferson's was $100, certainly means that Ja'Marr Chase may never sign with Cincinnati. They're like, hey, it was on the one-yard line, except for this one little hiccup. That hiccup being, we wanted to guarantee $60 million less at signing than the two guys who signed before him. That doesn't feel like a hiccup. That feels like you're on the opposite one-yard line. That feels like a massive problem.
No wonder Ja'Marr Chase has been whining a lot. I get it.
I'd be upset, too.
Ever since Ja'Marr talked, whatever it was, a week and a half ago and said, they told me they would give me a new contract. I've been on, Ja'Marr has been 95% in the right and 5% to blame for this situation. Because if you tell the player you're going to get the money and then you try to cheapskate them like this, because to me, I thought it was maybe it's 5 or 10 million, Cody, off of what CeeDee got in guaranteed money. It's not too much. It is $50 million less guaranteed at signing. 50. For a top 3 wide receiver in the league, it's not insignificant to me. It's, I mean, I think Jamar's going to sign, but looking ahead,
look, the NFL,
any player that is a star, Trey Hendrickson, had requested a trade or whatever the hell it was before the draft. If you're a star player,
he doesn't want to give the guaranteed up front.
Do you, like, what does this mean for you going forward with this organization? Like, they've done a great job in modernizing the way that they think and a lot of different things. They paid Joe Burrow. They've rethought a lot of things on how they cover the team, social media, all that stuff, the stadium, the orange out, the stripes, and all that. But you have to pay. You cannot deny paying a top three wide receiver in the game, in the league, top tier money. You just can't do it.
Look, the Bengals just finally got an indoor practice facility. You know what I mean? Like,
having a downtown stadium is really, they have no separate practice facility.
This has been a problem for them. And if you, it does matter when you see those lists come out every year, not only on team values, but like, hey, the wealthiest owners in the NFL. Look, Mike Brown's not hurting, but when it comes to stuff like this, he is the, other than the Packers, who are obviously, their structure is way different, right? It's not a traditional owner. Mike Brown is worth the least of any owner in football.
Yes.
31st out of 32.
Yep.
And it's still $925 million. But when you're talking about NFL owners,
$90 million in escrow.
Yeah, it's a problem
because they're the family, like the Lambeau, like the Packers family,
like
sort
the Hunts.
Of, or the Bengals. Paul Brown passed on to Mike Brown, like that. The family aspect of it. It's not like they didn't come from a lot of money and just straight up buy the team, you know. So
we are going to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes here in about 5 minutes or so on 96.5 The Fan. But we can talk Cincy during Chiefs Red Half Hour because really they're playing in week one. Okay, that's our week two. Then right now this week, so that's why we're able to.
And we're talking about what sad thing they're doing in order to highlight their playing of the Chiefs in this upcoming week.
If they do win the game, they don't. They don't need to say anything. I don't need to hear from
they
them.
Should keep, they should keep quiet.
I don't need to hear
they
from them.
They should just
mayor.
Take the win and be like, good win. See you next week.
I don't need to hear anything.
You guys know as much as I do. There is zero chance, if Cincy wins, that Jamar Chase say a damn thing. Are you kidding me?
But if they somehow throw a celebration, like the replay of the game... Or the mayor talks.
I hope. I mean, look. I don't think they're winning. I really don't. I think their secondary sucks, and I think the Chiefs will win this game on Sunday. But if Cincinnati strikes me as a team that in week two would go Raiders Christmas Day in terms of they're going to light cigars in the locker room for a week two win, that would be the only way this gets funnier.
The only way that I'll light a cigar is because I know that you guys have to go to McDonald's. And I don't have to go to McDonald's.
You got a lot on the line, man. How are you feeling, by the way? Tattoo, blonde hair, all that's happening next week.
Is Brie okay? Have you told her everything you might have to do if you the Bengals lose this game?
She's like, as long as you don't have to pay for the bleach or anything like that. And I said, no, I'm good.
We will work that out. We will make sure someone comes in studio and gives you a nice bleach blonde.
I don't need bleach stinking of this room, dude.
I can't smell anyways. We can do it in here.
There's enough tattoo stuff that I have in terms of creativity and thinking of what I want.
There has to be a timeline on this too. You said you need to have somebody in Indy do it. We can't wait a year for this tattoo.
When are you going back?
The tattoo has to happen in the next month or
Christmas
two.
Time. It's not going to be in the next month or two.
We need to have the tattoo in person on air.
That's not
you want
happen.
Someone to bring in a tattoo gun in here?
No, that's not going
to
happen.
On the radio, have Drew get a tattoo versus all of a sudden he just shows up and has a tattoo. That's not any fun.
I will do a social media video and it'll go out as I'm getting the tattoo. But it's a tattoo. It's not like
you
I'm getting...
You think even Sean Barber has a number 59 tattoo?
No.
No, hold on. There's no way... Look, if I played in the league, I would not get anything associated with me playing, like my number. No, that's not... I guarantee you he doesn't. I don't think
people
any
get their
athlete,
last names tattooed on themselves.
Sometimes. I don't think any athlete should have a tattoo of themselves or like the number they wore. You just don't need to do that.
Good times, man.
And Jamar Chase's situation is a lot worse than the Chris Jones situation, I would say.
Yeah, the text line's right on that.
Because Chris Jones was not... Andy Reid was not saying Chris Jones is showing up to practice, and then Chris Jones is not
there's a better relationship with ownership and
showing up
office.
The coach. Correct.
There's a much better relationship there. Someone brought up a good point though, and this is to Drew's defense, Cody. You can't put a timeline on Drew's tattoo. This is the problem with you waiting to pay off your bet. Now Drew thinks months and months and years
get
the tattoo.
Like when he goes back to when he goes back to India. So,
and someone says, "What's the tattoo have to say?" It's the number 59.
It literally is the number
59. Again, it is. Very random why you agreed to number 59. I understand Sean Barber, but still a little random.
He said one of those is his lucky number, he said.
5 is my favorite number.
Okay.
9 is the number of Joe Burrow where, theoretically speaking, there's a lot of intricacies within the numbers 5 and 9 that I can I don't mind.
You can justify the reason behind it.
And also, I'm not going to do this, but theoretically speaking, if you get a 59, you can have something tattooed around it where you literally don't even see the 59 anymore, and it's fine.
He gets to design it however, you know? Mm-hmm. We gave him freedom of design.
This is going
choice.
On your wrist. Is that what you said?
I think
he decided ass cheek. Changed his mind.
I thought it was left ass cheek.
Sorry, no. It's not going to be a 5-on-1 and 9-on-the-other. That's not going to happen. Sorry. That's not going to happen.
9 to 5, and then you could just say you're a big Dolly Parton fan.
9.
Have you considered that? Depending on which wrist you put it on, your wife, you could just be a big Dolly Parton fan.
I mean, she's all right. You should prank your wife, though. Get the tattoo, not there, but you should freak around and be like, hey, they talked me into it, and have like a temporary somehow 5 and 9 on your ass cheeks just to get her reaction and let us know how that conversation goes for a second.
That would be hilarious. The Bengals. Palmer Stadium is going to have a bit of a vibe while they're replaying the game. All right, it's not going to be
not going to be that good of a vibe.
It's not going to be as good as a college football game vibe.
Jumbotron. It's not even like Jerry World's Jumbotron.
It's not going to be as good as a college football game vibe. I can tell you that. Paycor Stadium is not going to be that, as it shouldn't be. Nobody should be getting amped up to go watch a game on a screen. I'm anti watch party. I don't know if you can tell. It doesn't matter if the Bengals were in the Super Bowl. If the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl and you could watch at Arrowhead, would you go? I don't think I would.
Yeah, I'm not a big.
I wouldn't want to go.
I'm with you. And the stadium thing, I'm not a huge fan of that.
Let me stay home.
Someone brought up a great point though about the number 59, and this is the secondary benefit to all of us listeners, everybody in Kansas City. If you get that tattooed, number 59, and the Chiefs win on Sunday. This year's Super Bowl is 59.
Oh, I thought it was 58. Is it 59?
2025, which will be February. 2025. Isn't that Super Bowl 59? Yeah. L-I-X. I'm terrible at numerals.
It's 59.
L-I-X.
That's this year's Super Bowl. L-I-X.
Ivy's 4.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
L-I-X. Yeah, but that's 59.
L-I-X. So Super Bowl 59, you could have the number 59 to commemorate the Chiefs' three-peat, Drew. That is a great idea.
Or
perfect.
That really backfires.
Or fingers crossed, in another universe, the Bengals win Super Bowl 59.
If you want to just get the tattoo and put L-I-X, which is also a 59 tattoo, you could just get ahead of it now.
I will not get the Roman numerals of 59. That's not happening. Sorry. That is not happening. I will get the number 5 and the number 9.
We're expected to head out to Arrowhead here in just a few minutes. Hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as they're set, and I think Xavier Worthy, as they're set to address the media, like you said, hoping Hollywood's back. I do want Hollywood to come back this week because I want to see the full compliment. I understand it won't be the full version because Nate Taylor told
us
yesterday.
If
Hollywood comes back, it might be a 20 to 25 snap situation, which means take away all of Sky Moore snaps, take a handful away from Xavier Worthy and kind of spread it, and take a handful away from Justin Watson to get there. But I still want to see it because I want to know what a route where Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, I want to see 4 wide. I want to see a route where Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and then just whichever guy is causing problems, Juju.
Let's have Travis in the slot or
Travis
something.
Travis in the slot. Yeah. And then Pacheco, 5 wide, Pacheco, I don't care. I want to see the full compliment.
Go empty. And
they went empty 3 different times in that game.
They did.
Last Thursday, so it's not out of the question. I can't believe it's already been a week. This is the only problem with them playing
almost,
early.
Almost a week, yeah.
This is the problem with them playing early, is now I'm like, can I get another Chiefs game, please? I feel like I've watched 17,000 NFL games. Be another one tomorrow.
Yeah.
I still got to wait 3 more days. It feels like a long time after tomorrow.
It has been a long time to wait for a second. I'm with you, but I enjoyed the fact that you had the win in your back pocket, and it was a really strong performance against a good team, and then you got to sit and watch everybody else play and fans sweat and teams lose to teams they shouldn't lose to, at least we think, Cincinnati. And so it made the weekend very enjoyable.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't
and
make
this
the
Thursday
weekend
night
trouble.
Game is pretty good, too. Buffalo
and relatively
Miami.
Important for, like, I chose Miami to win the division. You chose Buffalo. Kind of that first early sign of it. Now, there came down to the final game of the season last year, but.
What? I want to address. Somebody said, what's the difference between a watch party and you replaying the 2014 World Series again?
That's different. That's a radio.
Yeah, correct. I don't want to see an. It's not even like they played the Super Bowl again, obviously, because they lost, but I. It's better knowing that you have one in your pocket than knowing you have nothing, as you've said. which is what the Bengals are doing.
I don't know. Everybody and people like different things. Just because Drew or Alex don't like going to a watch party doesn't mean people don't like watch parties. People do them for all kinds of sporting events all the time. I would say that that's just a personal preference.
I like going to watch parties. I don't think the whole, like, go to a 70,000-seat stadium when there's only going to be 10,000 of us sitting there watching. That's not fun to me.
That seems,
for instance, when the Royals are in the playoffs, if they're in a series, would you go to the K to watch a game on
television? If I thought 35,000 people were going to be there, sure.
If it's going to be a full house.
If I thought 8,000 people were going to be hanging out, spending $99 for expensive concessions, no. The
vibes.
Honest to God, yeah. That's the whole point behind a watch party. We can fill up a bar with 200 people.
All right, let's go out to Arrowhead right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan, and hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
The 23rd year to the victims of 9/11 and the first responders, for sure. So our hats go off to those that sacrifice so we can do what we do here, you know. The Bengals, we look forward to the challenge of playing the Bengals. They're a heck of a football team. And, you know, we know we've got to have a good week of preparation. As far as the injuries go, really, the only person is Hollywood is the only one that's banged up there. So he's continuing to rehab and get himself out, but he won't be out there today. Other than that, time's yours.
Is it an indication, Coach, that he would not play Sunday, or is it still to determine?
Yeah, not necessarily. Yeah. I wouldn't say that.
As you looked at the Bengals, they had a rough start. There's some numbers out there with Zach Taylor. They just don't do well early in the year. Put your finger on it. Reason why that would be? I know you guys generally play them later in the year.
Yeah, listen, they're a good football team. I mean, they're very well coached. I mean, Zach does a great job. They do a great job on the defensive side and special teams. So right now they're just trying to get their guys back together that aren't able to play. But we know they're going to come in here and be ready to go. I don't know what's going on in the past or anything else, but I know every time we play each other, it's a heck of a football game.
Andy, you talk frequently about getting the other team's best shots and stuff. And in what ways do you notice that materialize during the game?
Yeah, execution is the biggest one. That's normally what you get, and good aggressive play. I tell you guys that tempos are different when you take each level in the playoffs. It's kind of a crazy deal. When teams like this play each other, it's just a different tempo, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, I don't know why, but that's how it goes.
Coach, you guys have the contract done with Noah. Right now, what does he mean for both your present and then in the future, and wanting to get that done?
Yeah, well, he's a good football player, and he does a lot for us. He's one of those guys that doesn't get a whole lot of credit for all that he does, but big-time special teams player, great tight end. We do a bunch of double tight stuff, plus he's able to spot going and spot Kels. And he comes out of games with quite a few snaps because of the special teams. You know, he's a four-phase guy there, can do anything Dave needs him to do there, and is willing. And he loves being here. So, and a great guy on top of all that.
Andy, what stood out about Rashee Rice when
you watched
this game?
Yeah, he was more comfortable than he was last year, which makes sense, just having had the reps and the experience. But the one thing that he does well is he catches it and he gets himself upfield. And he's a good, consistent catcher, works himself upfield, is tough, plays physical. Same time, he's a willing blocker, get in there and mix it up there. So he's really developing his whole game in all areas, and you know, he'll keep growing, but it's way smaller margin than he had to grow from beginning of last year.
Last week, talking to Samaje, it seemed like he was a little wide-eyed getting here so fast and having to get in. He said you get the sense that comfort might be a little bit better this week.
Yeah, listen, he did a nice job for us, so I don't want to take anything away from him. He, he jumped in and had everything down and was able to play a few snaps for us. I mean, he's going to be familiar with half of the guys that are on this team, so he knows the routine there. So and a lot of the players.
Coach, week one passing offense around the league was kind of a low standard for this current era, and you kind of had a unique perspective to be able to sit back and watch it this week. Is there anything you can kind of put your finger on why, you know, some teams in the passing game just seem to struggle in week one?
Yeah, it takes time for that to develop, I think, that part of the game. A lot of variables that go into it just with execution as opposed to handing the ball off to somebody. So between the timing and knowing your receivers and then all these secondaries that the defenses throw at you. So it takes a little bit of time. The time's been reduced in areas. So and then, you know, anyways, that's what I see.
Coach, with the kind of game that Xavier had this early in his season last week, what can that do for him, you know, going on the rest of the season?
Yeah, he did a nice job for us. Again, he even as with his size, he was willing to get in and mix it up in the run game part of it. But having the success he had, I think, is a positive for a young guy to get going. Are you guaranteed 2 touchdowns every game? Well, you know, that's not necessarily in the contract, but it was great for him to get started that way. He knows that he can play at this level now, and if he had any questions, I didn't sense he had any questions, but if he did, those are answered.
We'll ask a couple, Nate, and then Vaya. Go ahead, Nate.
Andy, you mentioned a couple times before that even though they're different players, it's a similar injury for Hollywood to what Tyreek experienced in 2019. He practiced that week, obviously, before playing. Just what did you need to see from him, and is there any way of using that experience if Hollywood is, you know, on the field tomorrow or Friday?
Yeah, they all set a little different. So, I mean, it's something that has to move to get back into place. And they all set just a little different and heal different, from what I understand. I'm not a physician by any means. So they're all just a bit different. I mean, you're talking just centimeters of it being off can be a problem. So you want to make sure those things are healed in and that they're actually in the right spot. So, you know, we're having them see different people that are experts at that. There's not. I don't think there's a ton of data on it, especially in our field here, but football. But that's kind of what's going on. But as far as working hard, and he feels good. He's, you know, he feels like.
Alexa.
All right, we're having an issue there, obviously, at the end of some of the media availability there. Andy Reid speaking to the media. The big news out of that is that Hollywood Brown is not practicing today.
Makes me feel like he's not going to play.
Yeah, Nate got me a little excited that he might be playing, but hearing that he's not practicing kind of worries me a little bit. Let's go back out there.
We got to trust the doctors here.
Bye.
Andy, non-football, but just to circle back to where you started, how did you get the news September 11th, and I just wonder what your, you know, strongest recollections of the day were.
Well, I was back there. I mean, I was back in Philly at that time, and so it was a little crazy around that area. I mean, I remember talking to Mike Sherman, who was at Green Bay. He called, and he was asking some questions about football, and he hadn't gotten the news out there. So I said, hey, you might want to turn the TV on. There's a little bit of craziness going on in this area here, so that's how I found out.
Were you able to process it in real time, or I mean,
I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure anybody could process it. I think everybody just reacted, and it really seemed to be in a positive way. I mean, from the stories that you hear on how people came to the rescue. That's the good of mankind. You know, we see some negative things and we have a tendency to harp on it, but that right there, man, that was our country pulling together and working together, and we can do some pretty magnificent things when that happens.
Okay, thanks, Coach. Okay.
That was Andy Reid, obviously some of his thoughts and comments on the anniversary of 9/11 today here in the United States. Coming up next, we are going to get to what's trending. We'll react a little bit more to what Andy had to say on the Hollywood Brown point, as we were alluding to a little bit. Plus, we're expected to hear from Patrick Mahomes right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.